over everybody and welcome to
Teller of the Tales.
Yeah!
You sound like Kermit the Frog.
Hey, you never know. You never know.
Shh, I do know. You are not Kermit the Frog, you imposter.
I can try to do Kermit the Frog. Wow, yeah, no. That was fail.
That was complete fail.
But who really needs to do Kermit the Frog when you can do Miss Piggy?
Can I hear you do Miss Piggy?
Woo, 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 woo! Kermit!
All right.
So this week was
Super Smash Brothers.
Ooh!
It was chosen by Stratotheorus, who won last week's Star Wars Challenge.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you know what's really interesting, though? Mm-hmm. No one person has actually won twice so far. Granted, it's only been 3 weeks, but...
Yeah, wait.
Is it only... are we on our...
I think we're on our third.
There's no way we're on our third.
Yeah, we are, because we did...
Am I in denial right now?
And then now we're doing Super Smash Brothers.
Huh. So we're just on our third week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Alright, so that makes sense. Alright, so for some reason I thought we were doing this for a month, and I didn't think we had been doing this for a month.
No, we have not been doing it for a month.
Almost.
No.
But you do realize, though, this is going longer than any other... This most likely will go any longer than any other Tell of the Tales show. Woo!
Okay, anyway. So we did Super Smash Brothers theme.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we having up first, Zane?
Up first is the artichoke.
Awesome. Artichoke, take it away.
Once upon a time, there was a place far, very far, where people fought with swords and lances, and some of them had axe, but others used bows too also. Some of them used magic and could burn people into a roasted fireball. Also were some people who were animals but weren't animable because they could transform. This place was called Tellus, and Tellus was a big place, so big it extended beyond over the sea. There lived Ike and his band of Greel mercenaries, who were all friends except for the bitches Titanisa and Mia, who were not like gays, so she them no let Greel mercenaries be kawaii and love each other because they were gays but no one liked them, so them beat her. Also was Mist, but she no bitch because she liked saying them be gays and also wrote stories. She was first yaoi writer in story, and her writings were super kawaii. But then one day, another bitch came, and she name was Elnicia, and she asked Ike for help, and Ike was pity and help, but then black nigget and kill Ike father, and Ike say, Dad, I'm sorry you were dead, and I will kill Black Nike and make you happy and mom. And Dad say, No, Ike, you can't kill Black Knight, because he's powerful general and can kill you with super attack. As in his high defense, go live happy with Soraine and not let that bitch Mia stop you. And Dad Grell died, but Ike didn't listen and went and killed Black Knight, and then killed Bad Guy who looked like Ganondorf but had blue hair and named Asnard, and saved Tellius, but fight wasn't over, because next year Black Knight come back as zombie as General Zyglus. But Ike kill him and evil senator and Sephiroth and women god because he was a tase, and people cheer and happy and woman including bitch Mia wanted sex with him, but Ike didn't care, so he went to travel with boyfriend Soren and also took Necoman Renolf. They travel long and hard and meet young Neko girl called Amla, who was really beautiful and despite being poor had wearing expensive clothes like tiara and socks that reached up to above her knees and ring and hig heels and skirt and cape. Amla had lots of very man wanting to be boyfriends, but she not want anything because she fall down love with Renolf. Renolf also want her, so he married and they were happy and kept on journey. Hover, one day Big and Scray Man come and take Renolf and Siren away and left one that says, Commander Ike and Neko Girl Amla must come to Daragon Gates and save Soren and Renolf or else they die in very pain. Ike agreed to go save loved one with Amla, so they got on horse and went fast on countryside. Soon, Amla pointed thing on the road and says, Look, Commander Ike, there's something on the road! So Commander Ike went faster to where the thong was, but after they got there, it was a zombie skeleton. It itched and held saber high in the air. Commander Ike, I sorry I kill you so Black Knight pays me good, the zombie skeleton said with bloody voice. But Black Knight is dead. I kill him with cuts and a cattle fall on his head, Ike said back. Shut up, Humane. He live now again as Goose and is now stronger and I kill you so I get money. It prepared to attack, but Commander Ike got Holy Sword Rangel out and cut Zombie Skeleton in two. It was not over tough as more zombie skeletons and some normal purple zombies also came. Ike and Amla got off horse and prepared to fight. Commander Weak slashed zombies with sword and made the ground bloody with their bodies, but he didn't mater to them. Amla also was fighting with magic nifs and big staff, but also used cat claws and turned into animal and used dark and wheat magic to kill zombies and zombie skeletons. But then gargoyles came with dark evil lances and fly. Ike couldn't get to high places where gargoyles was, and they were laughing.
Stupid Commander Ike, you can't kill us!
The dark evil gargoyles laughed. But then Amla used strange ligate power to make country seed glow and summon pink spiper rifle from future and shot magical bullets that hit gargoyles in brains and gargoyles fell from Hig Place screaming. Commander Ike then readied his Ragnall sword and throw it up very high and then jump up and catch it with hands and come falling down with powerful slash while yelling a hitter. The attack was so powerful that zombies and zombie skeletons die on one hit. Commander Ike then turned to Amla. Amla, how does you summon weapon that kill gargoyles? Commander Ike asked with confusing.
It is magical power since I was little kawaii Neko Grill, but now we must go and our loves are in deepest of troubles.
She answered back to Commander Ike as they got on horse and went on faster as they can to the Daragon's Gate to save loves. Are they succeed? Or fail? Find out in the next chapter. Arigato!
Oh my goodness. See, this is interesting. This is a fantastic... I love spellings. Obviously, this person does not speak English well. But they also tried to slip in Japanese stuff. And as the one of the resident Japanese speakers of BH, I will actually claim that. They kept saying, like, writing Hawaii, and there's a very big difference. I don't know many people are aware, because I hear people do this on BH too, Zane, and it aggravates
yeah.
me. They'll say, oh, you're the most kawaii person on BH, and I'm just like, it's kawaii. There's a very huge difference. Kawaii, those are... Kawaii isn't even a word. Kawaii means scary. Kawaii means cute. There's a difference. This person was like, kawaii, and I know that that's how they would pronounce it anyway. Just... But overall, I loved the voice. Just that voice, the narration voice. Throughout, it was just great, and then the gargoyle voices, and I was just like, yes, just the voices, they were fantastic, characterization, overall, I really loved it.
Yeah, this was really good, this was a lot better than your last week's. Last week, you had the same amount of energy, but you kicked it up a notch with this week, and the voices really, really, really helped out a lot. I would say you had me out, like, right at the end, I started cracking up badly when I know it's supposed to be horses, but it came out whores. So they jumped on whores and rode to whatever. It's like, wow, that's just funny. It's wrong, but funny. But no, this was just really good. I loved it. You kept my attention through the whole thing.
A really just, big. I would say this is a good step up from
yeah.
from the week before.
I think he took basically what we were talking about and actually really took it to the next level.
Yeah. So good job. Congratulations.
Yes.
I have nothing left to say.
I've got nothing else left to say. So let us move on. Dylan Collins.
All right.
Legion of Smash Brothers, Chapter 1. A New Day, A New Adventure, by Rossetti. It was a nice sunny day in Toad Town. It was the capital city of the Mushroom Kingdom. Sentient mushrooms called Toads walked around the city minding their own business. As weird as the mushrooms are, there are three heroes who stuck out. Two were plumbers, one in red, the other in green, and the last was a dinosaur. I miss the action we used to have, bro, Luigi sighed. It's okay, Luigi. We have our action back, just not now, Mario comforted. Isn't that right, Yoshi? Yoshi nodded in reply. Our heroes were walking when suddenly they heard a cry. Help us! Shouted a worried Toad. Our heroes then looked around and finally saw their chance for action. Goombas have invaded the town! These Goombas are relentless! Shouted a Toad. Just leave it to us! Shouted Mario. As the Goombas were causing trouble, the heroes stepped in. The Mooks faced their worst nightmare. Time to end this, Luigi stated. The Goombas tried to scamper away, but they were no match for the plumbers and their dinosaur friend. Mario stomped on a few Goomba heads, putting them out of their misery. Yoshi, let's saddle up, Luigi shouted. The green dinosaur let Luigi get on him. The two approached the resisting Goombas. Yoshi swallowed a few while Luigi jumped out and stomped on the last two. It was then that the town was saved. Way to go, cheered the Toads. Once again, we have saved the day, cheered Luigi. There's more where that came from, Mario replied. I guess you're right, Luigi replied. The heroes then saw a royal Toad guard scurrying toward them with a worried look on his face. The princess has been captured, the Toad guard cried. We got this one, Luigi assured. Our heroes rushed to the castle, only to see a Koopa King piloting an airship. It had 6 cannons, 3 on each side. They saw the princess herself tied up. Princess Peach! Luigi shouted. Mario, Luigi, Yoshi! Peach exclaimed. Help!
Wah-ha-ha-ha! You plumbers and your dinosaur friend will have to stop me first if you want your princess back! Shouted Bowser. Junior, fire the bullet bills!
Got it, Dad, Bowser Jr. replied as he pressed the button. See if you guys can dodge this!
Boom! All at once, 6 bullet bills fired from the cannons. They were heading straight for our heroes. Mario decided to take on the first two. The plumber jumped and stomped on the first bullet bill, causing it to hit the ground with an explosion. The blast kicked Mario in the air, and the plumber did a front flip, allowing him to knock out the second bullet bill.
Way to go, Mario, shouted Peach.
The third and fourth bullet bills were going for Luigi. The green plumber jumped up and took down the third bullet bill. Luigi used the added boost to do a super jump punch, knocking the fourth bullet bill out of the sky. Yoshi saw the last two bullet bills heading for him. The green dinosaur stuck his tongue out, swallowing the fifth bullet bill. He then fired it at the airship. Yoshi repeated it with the second bullet bill, taking down the flying ship. Bowser and his son emerged in the Koopa clown car unscathed.
"Grah, my beautiful airship!" screamed Bowser. "I'll make you pay for this!"
Bowser snapped his fingers, and out from the airship wreckage came a pack of Koopa Troopas. Our heroes were ready to deal with them. Mario jumped on one. The shell surfed, knocking away some Koopas. Yoshi swallowed some of the Koopa shells and spit them out at the other Koopas. Eventually, the Koopas were cleared. Bowser managed to remain calm.
"Humph! So what if you took down my airship?"
Bowser growled.
"Wait till you see this!"
Bowser pressed a button, and the face on the Koopa clown car grew more sinister. It charged a laser. Vroom. Mario, Luigi, Yoshi, watch out! The laser fired at our heroes. They managed to dodge, but the impact blasted a crater on the ground. Once the smoke cleared, our heroes saw a shining object rise from the ground. A power star! Mario exclaimed. Our heroes ran to the crater to retrieve the power star, but suddenly it disappeared in a puff of magic and then reappeared in the Koopa clown car.
Bwa-ha-ha-ha! That's very resourceful of you, Comic!
Suddenly, Magic Koopa appeared. He was the advisor of Bowser. He was wearing a light blue robe and a hat. He was wielding a scepter and was on a broomstick.
Kamek! Shouted the heroes.
Yeah! Laughed Kamek. I guess you didn't expect me there, huh?
What do you need the Power Star for? Shouted Mario.
Let me just say that me and every villain in the universe are taking the artifacts, shouted Bowser.
We won't let that happen, shouted Mario.
The heroes charged toward the villains, but Kamek whipped up a portal in which the villains escaped in.
Help me,
Peach shouted as her voice trailed. The portal closed before our heroes could enter it. Mario, Luigi, and Yoshi were visibly upset.
They're gone, and they have Peach and the Power Star.
Luigi sighed. Our heroes pouted for some time before Mario had an idea.
Bowser said that every villain in the universe is involved in this, Mario stated. What other artifact do we know of?
The Triforce, Luigi said.
That's in a Link's world, thought Mario. So how do we get to Hyrule? There must be some kind of teleporter or something, Luigi added.
The rooftop of the castle has one, Yoshi said.
Are you sure, Yoshi? Mario asked. Yoshi nodded his head. Mario remembered their castle was a former Super Smash Bros. Battlefield from their Melee days. Every Super Smash Bros. Stage had a universal transporter. Mario also remembered that there was a cannon which could fire them to the rooftop. Into the cannon, Mario shouted. Our heroes went into the cannon by the castle, and sure enough, they were launched onto the rooftop. After a while, they found an old transporter. It was dusty since it wasn't accessed in years. Once our heroes stepped on it, it started working as new as ever. In an instant, Mario, Luigi, and Yoshi were transported to the distant land of Hyrule.
All right, so Dylan, this was actually really good. I actually really liked it. I liked your voices. I liked the whole storytelling. I actually just liked it. I mean, there's a few spots where you stuttered a little bit, where you, like, looked at it. I think you might have either looked at the word wrong, or it was actually spelled wrong, and you had to think about it for a few minutes. But other than that, I mean, it was actually pretty good. I liked it. Libby?
I liked it. It was just, like, I liked the voice acting. You always have really good voices for your characters. Like, you just put, like, a lot of personality into that. It's something I really enjoy. And look forward to listening to. So this was another instance of that. And it was just really nice. I enjoyed it. I really don't have any complaints.
Yeah, so, yeah, I got nothing left. You?
Well, I mean, I guess I didn't know that Yoshi could talk. But, I mean, other than that.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, depends. If it's bad fan fiction, yes.
But I'm, I don't have anything like, oh my god, Dylan, you did this wrong. No, you're cool.
Which is always a good thing.
Yeah.
Alright, so I got nothing else left, you?
I'm fine.
Alright, so let's move on to the next person. And that is, you'll never guess who it is. It starts with an M and ends with a T.
Oh, Malt!
Yes! Malt, who has come from the precious of the underworld, is back and ready for revenge.
Okay. And let's take it away.
There was only one time that I was ever given permission to cuss. One time. And trust me, it brought a whole buttload of problems along with it. It was a normal day at school. I was doing what I usually do in class. Anything but what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I don't like school. Not many kids do, and at the time, I really didn't think that there was any point in the whole thing. Honestly, I didn't really understand the difference between school and the playground. So I tended to get in trouble. A lot. My teacher was very strict and often gave me detention or put me in timeout or something, but that day, she got pissed. Ness, she hissed, come here. I stopped what I was doing and looked up at her. She had her eyebrows trimmed to what I heard the older kids call pitchy perfection. I guess they meant the snobby arch she made with her blonde brow as she pursed her lipstick red lips. I walked over to her cluttered desk. What? I asked. She pulled out a paper and stuck it to my shirt. She then stapled it on. Take that note home and make sure your mom reads it. I was a little surprised at her act. But then I was a little scared about the note. I didn't want to read it. It was probably a really long list of all the things I had done in the past week, or maybe even 100 reasons why I should be euthanized. I was surely going to be killed when I got home. Okay, I said, and she dismissed me back to my desk. When I got to the mansion that afternoon, I was sweating like crazy. Crap. I thought, she's so gonna kick my ass! What if she rips my balls off? Oh no, I need those! I shook my head as I walked through the halls and up to my room. I unlocked the door and went inside, and I held my breath for the hurricane to come. Samus wasn't actually my mom. She was more like a surrogate mother or a mentor. I was referred to as her son when it wasn't technically true. She was completely responsible for everything I did, and I did some pretty bad things. Well, somehow, she saw the note that was blatantly on my chest. It was then that I read it. Maybe if you showed your son some more attention at home, he wouldn't act like a fool in school. As soon as she read it, she looked up at me. Come here. Let me tell you something. I walked over to where she was standing. You tell her to mind her damn business before I come down there and beat her ass. I was shocked and confused. I paused a moment before I replied. Wait, so do you want me to say that or take some stuff out? What did I tell you? Tell her to mind her damn business before I come down there and beat her ass. She repeated. No, I heard what you said. I just want to make sure that, you know, you're telling me to say the same thing, I said quickly. I had a habit of talking very fast when I was nervous. Ness, if I tell you again, I'm going to smack the shit out of you, she said viciously. No, I got it. Yeah, okay, I got it, I stuttered, and suddenly I felt the pressure. My mom had basically given me permission to cuss out a teacher. I didn't feel very comfortable with the situation. What if I messed it up? So I felt the need to practice. I went to my room to go work on my lines in front of my mirror. All right. Okay. I got this. All right. Okay. I stuttered again. I took in a deep breath. My mom told me to tell you to mind your damn... I stopped. No, it's too loud. It's just not believable. Way too loud. After many more attempts, I finally got the lines down. You know what? I thought. I think I should go to bed early and get some rest. After all, tomorrow was a big day. I didn't want to mess it up. So I went to bed. I woke up the next day in a hurry. I put on my shirt and shorts and threw my baseball bat and my yo-yo and my backpack. I threw on my cap and ran out the mansion to catch my bus. As soon as I got on, all my friends got really excited. There was no denying my popularity. What's up, Ness? Hey, look, it's Ness! Come sit by me! I put my hand up to stop their excitement. Guys, not today. I got a lot on my mind. I can't really have you guys throw me off. What are you talking about? My friend Lucas asked. Look, I said, sitting down. I can't really go into too much detail. All I can tell you is that it's about to go down. What? Look, man, I said it's about to go down. Just be behind me when I walk in class. I was frustrated. All right. Cool, he said, and they all nodded. When I walked into class, my teacher, Miss Peach, she's greeting everyone from her desk. Hello. Good morning. How are you? Hello. Then, when she got to me, her eyebrow did the bitch thing, and her tone got really snobby. Ness, she said rudely. Her attitude pissed me off. Miss Peach, I replied, just as rude. Did you let your mother read the note? She asked. Yes, I did, I spoke in a matter-of-fact tone. So, what did your mother say? Hoo-hoo, she was just begging for it. I took a deep breath and turned to my friends. It's about to go down, I said with a smirk. I turned to the teacher. Well, my mom told me to tell you to mind your damn motherfucking business, bitch. I pointed at her accusingly. Little stupid bitch, little dumb teacher bitch, 2 + 2, not knowing what the fuck it is, bitch. Cross-eyed crying 'cause you're fat ass bitch. Long-titted, no-nipple, ugly ass bitch. And then the room burst into chaos. There were a million laughs and a whole bunch of surprise noises. My friends were in the background screaming, Oh, he said she ain't got no nipples! I stood there, arms crossed, eyes shadowed by my hair, and a smug smirk on my mouth as I basked in my glory. I got suspended. But that wasn't the worst part. Sam must beat the shit out of me when I got home. I told you to say 2 curse words, and you said 72 of them, she said while beating my ass. Turns out the whole thing was just a lot of trouble, but it was all worth it, don't you think? I showed that fat ass ugly bitch who the fuck she was messing with. Cussing is awesome.
All right, so Malt.
know if I was starting or not.
Well, we were usually interval, but you know what? Let's. Okay, so this one was actually really good. I actually really enjoyed this, especially when he went to the whole like cursing part, which I absolutely died during that part because it's like so much ad lib, so much that, and so much this. It was just really fun to listen to, and you know, I just really liked it. This was awesome. This was, I want to say, this was 10 times better than last week's. Libby?
I have to agree. I really enjoyed it. I really thought you you stepped it up. I loved Samus. She's one of my favorite characters, and just the characterization that you placed on her was awesome. Because she would say that. And it's just like, you know, like, Ness is like a normal troubled kid, you know, and then he just like unleashed it and all the kids were like, oh, you know, I loved it. It was cute. I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed the voices and the characterization you lent to it. So it's good stuff.
Yeah. All right. So I got nothing else left. You?
Nope.
All right. So up next we have Beloved Star.
He tiptoed around the Smash Mansion in the dead of night. He looked behind his shoulder. No one was there. Good. He quickly took one last look and jumped into a nearby closet, and then took out his iPod and a pair of headphones. Music began to play. He sang along to it. Badly. If I should stay, I would only be in your way, so I'll go, but I'll know, I'll think of you every step of the way. His eyes were closed as he belted out the lyrics way off key. And I will always love you.
Whoever that is, shut up!
Yeah, some people are trying to sleep.
Samus, please go out with me.
Not in your wildest dreams. I don't swing that way. He quickly packed up all of his belongings and bolted out of the closet before he was caught.
Mr. Snake, what are you doing?
Snake froze. He turned to see Lucas, Ness, and Toon Link all in their PJs staring at him.
What are you kids doing?
He asked gruffly, acting as manly as possible. We were looking for the source of that noise.
Well, nothing's here. Go away.
But
go away.
The three boys quickly ran away, and Snake thought, I've got to find a better hiding place. I didn't think I was that bad.
Love it. You said this would be short, and it was short. I enjoyed it. The very off-key singing. A little bit ear-shattering, but it got its point across. What'd you think?
I actually, it was not bad. I mean, it was okay. It was just really short. It was like, yeah. it was like, okay, short. Okay. I wasn't expecting like 2 minutes, but it was like, but what she did got in there was actually really good. I liked it. And all of a sudden I wasn't really realizing who it was at first. It was actually Snake. And it being Snake and him singing is absolutely funny in and of itself. So, to be honest with you, I don't know.
Really? I mean, like, I thought that, like, I mean, like, it's possible that, you know, she just found the story, she really liked it, and it's really short. And we just have to judge with what we've been given.
I kind of wish
it was longer, but at the same time, like, I knew she was, like, flat out with me, and she was like, it's going to be really short. Is it okay if it's this short? And I was like, it's fine. You're fine as long. Because, like, when it comes to time limits, I like to be a little bit lenient. Like, nothing under, like, a minute, of course. Or, like, nothing over 17 minutes, you know?
Well, nothing really shouldn't be over 10 minutes.
Well, yeah. But still.
That much over 10 minutes because, So, but what I heard of the story, in of itself, it was good. I really liked it. It was actually not bad. It was good. it's just one of those things that it was just the fact it was really short. But in that said, she put a lot of emphasis on, you know, him singing badly and really embodied that. And she's like, you know what? That actually really worked. And you know what? I would have actually loved it if it was actually longer, though. Other than that.
I don't know if she would have been able to control it. Yeah. I kind of wish it was. I guess I would blame the author in that case. But yeah. Overall, I enjoyed it. I thought you did a great job with mm-hmm. what you had.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. But you know what? So far, this is actually going to be the hardest. Oh, man, I'm not looking forward to this.
Yeah, we've been having a lot of good entries so far, so let's keep them all coming. Who's up next?
Up next is one and only Skywish.
All right, take it away.
April Fools by Soundwave 0107. Dr. Mario regarded Wario with a solemn face, the kind of solemn that signified bad news. Wario glanced nervously around the lab equipment surrounding the bed he was on in the mid-bay.
"I'm so sorry, Wario," the good doctor said, "but all of the garlic has clogged your very organs, and such I need to cut you open and take them out."
Wario inhaled deeply and screamed as loud as he could. If there was one thing Wario was scared of, it was surgery. Suddenly, Dr. Mario started laughing his head off.
"What's so funny?" Wario shrieked. "April Fools!" the doctor laughed.
Wario promptly pulled some rotten garlic out of his pocket and threw it in the doctor's face. Later that day, the Pokemon trainer, simply known as Red, gave a proud smile at his beloved trio.
"Well done, you lot!"
he shouted happily. Squirtle jumped for joy. Ivysaur gave an approving grunt, and Charizard simply flexed. Suddenly, Red saw Jigglypuff walking past.
"A wild Jigglypuff!" Red shouted, pulling out a purple spear. "I will catch it with this Master Ball!"
And he threw the spear. Jigglypuff saw the dreaded item too late, and a terrified scream as the spear struck her. Only for it to be revealed as a fluffy fake.
"April Fools!" Red laughed,
clutching his navel in humor. Jigglypuff promptly puffed in anger before lunging and slapping the trainer across the face. Red promptly crashed to the floor, unconscious. Charizard spent approximately 4.56 hours poking his master's body to see if he was dead or not. Later that day, Captain Falcon was relaxing in the garden. He had just won an important race at the nearby racing coliseum. Winning these races earned lots of money for the mansion, or rather, its constant repairs. The great racer didn't notice a certain blue avian approaching him until...
"Oh my god, Zelda got a landmaster!"
Falcon gave a scream of horror before racing to the safety of the lake, jumping into the clear water to get away from everyone's greatest and most ironic fear. When he didn't hear approaching slaughter, he poked his head out of the lake only to see Falco rolling around with laughter.
"Ha! You should have heard your scream! Ha 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 ha! Falcon! Uh-oh! Falco, run away!
Bunch!"
Too late. Later that day...
"Ganondorf! I will kill you!"
The warlock, previously sitting in the living room watching TV, screamed in fear as Peach smashed through the doorway, rage in her eyes, power in her form, her hair flying around, and...
dot, dot, dot. "Dear gods of the Triforce, a vacuum cleaner.
Die!"
"No, spare me. I beg you, spare me,"
Ganon squealed, actually getting into the begging motions for the angry princess. Suddenly, she changed from evil monster to giggling girl.
"April Fools!"
she giggled. Ganon just fainted. Later that day, Mario and Sonic were sitting together in the cafeteria, the former laughing at a joke from the latter while he ate a piece of pizza, the latter telling a joke while eating a plate of chili dogs. Suddenly, Mario gulped in disgust.
"Arr! Someone has put chili sauce in my pizza!"
Sonic tried to restrain his laughter by eating the chili dog, then spluttering in horror.
"Arr! Someone put tomato sauce in my chili dogs!"
The two rivals suddenly glared at each other. and glared, and glared, and glared. Then they just burst into laughter, both shouting, April Fools! Author's notes. Happy April Fools, smiley face. I hope you enjoyed this 5-part chapter, smiley face. Number 1 is the good old doctor scaring Wario. Number 2 is Red getting owned and Charizard poking. Number 3 is Falcon's worst nightmare. Thankfully, Zelda hadn't learned her lesson. Number 4, well. And number 5 is just two friendly rivals sabotaging their meals. Aren't they all great friends? Asian smiley face.
Alright, so Skywish. This was actually really good. I liked it. This had really good energy, really good voices. And, yeah, I don't even know how long this went for. How long did it go for?
I'm not sure.
It actually went for 5 minutes. But still, I mean, to be honest with you, for me not knowing how much it went for, and actually me being able to just, you know, be able to listen to it and actually get everything out of it, was actually really good. I really liked it, and you know what? Man, this was just really hard. Ugh, why do you guys have to be so good? Livvy?
I rather enjoyed this. I thought that it had some great voices and everything, good characterization, really entertaining, and I liked how you transitioned it, and just the ending, including the author's note with her bajillion smiley faces, was amazing. I think my favorite part had to be the Pokemon trainer, just because that voice you gave Red was hilarious.
Yeah. So,
great job.
Actually, if I can interject too, that Pokemon trainer voice was actually almost like kind of close to Ash.
Well, that's the thing, is like the Pokemon trainer Red is actually supposed to, like, Ash is based off Red. However, Red is infinitely more epic than Ash will ever be.
I see.
Yes.
And who is this Red character you speak of?
Read the Pokemon Adventures manga and you'll find out.
Ah, okay. So it's from the actual manga.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's a Pokemon Adventures manga and it takes itself after the games mostly. And, instead of the anime, where the anime has, like, Ash and Gary. In the games, you can start as Red and Blue, and that's the characters that you have, but there's some confusion with Blue and Green and whatnot, and there's a female character. And every single game, like Ruby, Sapphire, Silver, Gold, Crystal, those are all characters in the Pokemon Adventures manga.
Huh.
And it's really awesome. I really enjoyed it. It's, like, one of my favorite mangas ever.
Interesting. But actually, on the side note, too, is that I would have actually would have, I don't know, this is me nitpicking right now. The fact when you had all the Pokemon and you say they grunted, I would have loved it if you would have gone with, like, the Bulbasaur voice, the Squirtle voice, and the Charmander voice. I mean, that would have been just funny. But granted, it didn't really give you that much time to do that, so. Yeah, I know. It didn't really call for it either, so, I mean, to be honest with you, yeah.
That's just an improv that she wanted.
But yeah, but, I mean,
I think that's just more, like, personal preference. I think that would be interesting, though, seeing, like, people try and expand on the fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Anyway. Who's up next?
All right, so up next is Ophi Cal.
Yay.
Once there was a man in a clockyard, and there, standing in front of him, was a man, but not just any man. It was Hunter S. Thompson. Hunter spat at the ground and asked, "What you doing here, Jim?" Jim said, "Looking for tea. Why?" Hunter handed him a cupful of what we can only assume was tea. Captain Falcon runs through and steals the tea. Falcons steal. Jim's body collapses in on itself in a heavy sigh. "How does this always happen to me?" he mutters under his breath. As Jim gets up, he wonders to himself about how his son is doing away at school. He's fine. He's lost his virginity already. The scene cuts to school, where Jim's son is frantically looking around his bedroom with a detective's magnifying glass. "For God's sake," he exclaims, "I need to find my virginity. I have to return it to the store by 8 o'clock. His eyes grow wide as he realizes he left his virginity in his other pants, which is still at the dry cleaners. Suddenly, there's a knock on the door. "Who's there?" asks the boy. The great fairy bursts in. She has pink hair flowing gracefully down her body, which is only covered by some strategically placed leaves. Huh? The boy thought. She doesn't look so much of a drag queen in person. I thought she was confined to water, though. As if on cue, the boy, who we'll call Reginald from this point on, looks down to see that he is standing ankle-deep in water. Crap, Reginald mutters under his breath. The showers are backed up again. I really need to find another place to, shake hands with the unemployed, as it were. But unfortunately, Spider-Man kidnapped him. And he was drunk. No, wait, I am. But Spider-Man could have been. A recent investigation showed he was actually high. In a spider web. And when Spider-Man was in the web, he took off his mask to reveal that he was, in fact, Hunter S. Thompson. This has led to a universal expansion into a new dimension, as he could not kidnap his own son. In an effort to escape from dwelling on such matters, Hunter and Spider-Man dropped Reggie off in a Borman boy's choir. Sorry, son, he spat, that witch was bad news. This was why she was burnt at the stake shortly after. Reginald's timing was perfect when he dropped into the Mormon boys' choir, because they were rehearsing the title theme from Mega Man 2. However, one of the boys was defiant. This sucks, he yelled right in the middle of practice. Why can't we sing something else? The Mormon looked at the boy, stared at him, and the words that came out of his lips changed Reginald's life forever. I'm gonna beat you like a rented mule, boy. An angry mob of producers, tech men, and actors then chased him off the set, forcing him to gotta run now. Wouldn't you like to know one with the leaf on the flag way up north, Canada? Unfortunately, though, while he thought he could get away, he was suddenly intercepted by John Madden. Madden hit him in the face. But all of a sudden, Joe Montana came out of Tecmo Super Bowl and just raped Madden. As he was being raped, Madden looked at Joe right in the eye and said, touchdown. All of a sudden, to interrupt the chaos, in Floss Man came in a brilliant burst of light. He lifted Madden and Joe up and shoved them aside. He then strode over to the Mormon boy. I will not hate you for liking this music. However, you must one day learn that we must all discover the glory of Mega Man someday. Your day will come eventually. It will be an adventure filled with many trials, ups and downs, yet you will eventually find your place within the Mega Man fanboys. I have only started your journey. Who are you? The townspeople asked. Flossman dramatically took off his sunglasses to reveal another pair of sunglasses underneath. None of your business, motherfucker. And he flew off into the sunset. Suddenly, the sunset started attacking him, and Flossman dodged the fireball, fighting back with a pair of magic scissors. Also, they shoot laser beams. Flossman looks behind him. At this sight, Flossman sold a t-shirt, and lo, Captain Falcon was defeated. Meanwhile, Flossman landed in the Floss Cave and took off his mask and 1,000 pairs of sunglasses, revealing himself as the one, the only, Brenta Floss. Hopefully no one will discover his secret identity. Meanwhile, the Mormon boy asked the townsfolk around him where to start his journey to find the delight of Mega Man. Follow the blue and sign brick road, they all sang in perfectly rehearsed harmonies and counterpoints. So, the Mormon boy started down the blue and sign brick road until he came across Little Nemo, the Dream Master. And then, out of thin air, a huge pile of random illegal substances fell from the sky, followed by a very intoxicated Hunter S. Thompson, wielding a power glove shaped like a fist with two thumbs, and a beam of THC, LSD, mescaline, and cocaine shot forth from its palm. And then Hunter, who at this point was surrounded by giant bats, said, sleep, boy, sleep. Mormon boy fell into a deep sleep and dreamed of Nemo, the Dream Master, covered by a purplish haze, who then took his old Incan voodoo mask off, revealing that he was Dr. Tran. And then Nemo, the Dream Master, Dr. Tran, spoke to the Mormon boy, saying, you must find the Megabuster of Truth. That is your first test. It is located deep within the forest temple. There you'll be faced with a maze, spiders, rotating hallways, evil spirits known as Poes, and perhaps the worst foe yet, Phantom Hunter S. Thompson. And just as I was finishing that sentence, I got sucked into my computer. There I wake up in a strange forest. Mormon boy crouches over me. Are you all right, mister? I was just about to find some legendary Megabuster. What in the name of, I begin to think, until an image of Floss Man appears in my head. Ophi, he says. Ophi, you must aid Nameless Mormon Boy in achieving his destiny. The rewards will be great. For now I shall give you the Sword of Konami. Not only is it super powerful, but it gives the wielder 30 lives. Now take the sword and go. Except he accidentally runs the sword through my gut, so only 29 lives left. Shit, I say to myself as I pull the sword out of my body. Okay, kid, let's go and find that Megabuster. But then Hunter S. Thompson appears. Dun dun dun! Ominous music begins to play. Before the first blow was struck, Samurai Jack appeared from a black and white striped portal right above them, landing on top of them. The poor Mormon boy asked Jack, "Who are you, and what are you doing here?" But he was suddenly cut out by Hunter, who attacked with a shot of PCP from his needle-tipped Freddy Krueger power glove. He stabbed Samurai Jack with it, turning him into a hulky monster. I duel Samurai Jack, while named Smallman Boy, with his new Cutman powers, duels Hunter. Meanwhile, Shay slowly inches closer and closer to her doom as she watches the battle. But just before the final blow was struck, out of the sky a blast of light, and out of Flash came Lion-O, leader of the Thundercats. Luckily, he lands flat on Mormon Boy's Cutman head thing, so as Nameless Mormon Boy struggles to get the corpse off him, Hunter is about to stab him with enough drugs to overdose and kill him. However, at the last minute, I manage to disarm Samurai Jack and throw him in front of Hunter's weapon. Jack is killed, and Hunter's Kruger power glove is lodged in his body. Before he can recover it, Mormon Boy and I surround him, about to kill him, when suddenly he turns into smoke. As the group travels to their destination, a small but very important worm is inching his way past the dead body of Mario. Out of the sky, a supersuit did fall on top of the worm, and this suit increased the worm's IQ as well as his physical power. A second worm also absorbs Mario's energy from his corpse, so Mario's consciousness, skills, and personality are transformed into the worm. Mario lives. So Super Mario Worm and the newly created Earthworm Jim join our party while Shay cries in happiness, although Mario's technically a worm. Who knows, Super Mario Worm says cheerfully, maybe I'll get my older body back from the glory of a Mega Man. Just then, Dr. Wily appears in his spaceship. Ha 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 ha. I have you all now. Just then, a cavalcade of Mega Man 2 bosses appears. Metal Man, Air Man, Flash Man, Quick Man, Heat Man, and Bubble Man get into attack position. Remember, Wily, we want them alive, the same evil voice says over Wily's spaceship intercom. We all get into attack position. I take on Metal Man, Mormon Boy fights Air Man, Shay fights off against Flash Man, Neil encounters Quick Man, and Earthworm Jim faces Heat Man, while Super Mario Worm engages Bubble Man in combat. The one and only Floss Man himself appears to take on Dr. Wily, and the battle begins. Quick Man begins singing Can't Touch This, while spinning around Neil. He tries to follow Quick Man with his eyes, but is starting to get dizzy. Meanwhile, Shay is taking on Flash Man and glances at Neil. Neil immediately charges his sword to shoot Quick Man as he passes by, but Heat Man blasts him from behind. With his heart meter running out, he calls upon the fairy who gives him sexual healing, brings him back up to full health. With that, he waits until Quick Man passes by and shoots a sword laser at him, obliterating the villain. Bubble Man shoots a wave of bubbles at Super Mario Worm, who almost gets drowned in the bubbles, but instead jumps on Bubble Man's head, killing him instantly and gaining the bubble lead. Meanwhile, Earthworm Jim is firing blasts from his laser gun at Heat Man, with no avail. Super Mario Worm then uses the bubble lead to extinguish Heat Man, who is defenseless against Earthworm Jim's volleys of laser fire, which destroy the fiend. Even more, meanwhile, I keep dodging Metal Man's metal blades, each one barely missing me. I need some help. While this is happening, Nameless Mormon Boy is dueling Air Man, who blows him back with his blowing powers. However, Mormon Boy is in no mood for such fuckery, and shoots a pair of Cutman scissors into his wind tube, causing him to explode. He then runs to my aid and uses the Mega Buster to shoot one of Metal Man's blades high up in the air. I catch it as it falls and whip it at Metal Man, who never stood a chance. Seeing his plans fall to utter shit, Dr. Wily flees with Floss Man in hot pursuit. We all corner Flash Man, but the cheapskate freezes time on us. Not fair. Suddenly, Dracula appears. It's just then that I get an idea. None of us alone can hurt Dracula, but if all of us combine our attacks, I decide to act fast again. Dracula will surely destroy us if we don't act soon. I take one of Shay's claws and fasten it to the tip of my sword of Konami. I then have Evie Chicks jolt and charge the sword with electric energy. Finally, I have Avilonis use his smoke powers to lift the sword up into the air and hurl it straight at Dracula. The sword goes straight into his heart. The Prince of Darkness screams in pain and tries to pull the sword out, but Shay's claw on the tip keeps the sword lodged in his chest. Just then, Jolton's electricity on the sword passes through Dracula, burning him inside out and causing him to shrink to his normal size. For he was big. Did I mention that? He's huge now. The dying fiend limps towards us, panting and bleeding profusely. "You think this is over?" he said in a dubious French accent. Just then, Espion's attack hits Dracula. Unfortunately for him, this attack causes him to burst into flames, lose all of his limbs, and be completely ripped apart by the winds. At last, Dracula is undoubtedly dead. And then the heroes walk off into the sunset. The end. For now.
Alright, so Ophicale. Man, I honestly don't know what to think of this. First of all, This was really boring to listen to. It was really just one-sided. It was like there was no break from you talking, which, granted, is not always like, if there's a break from it, doesn't mean there's relief. But I was kind of hoping there would be more characters. There would be more, you know. Oh my goodness, this was just a really flat line.
Story. And this can be accomplished in many different ways that I kind of wish I'd see you do. Things like dynamics, voice acting, really just putting that energy and emotion. And I know that this must have been a really long piece for you to do, because it was long to listen to. I don't know about Zane, but one of the things I personally didn't catch was Super Smash Brother references.
Yeah, I didn't
I caught about almost every other fandom out there. I mean, you got Mega Man, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Little Nemo.
Nemo, I guess it's kind of... Isn't Nemo one of the characters in Smash Brothers?
No.
No? Wait, who's the kid then?
So. That's Ness.
Oh, that's Ness. Okay.
Yeah. Nemo's.
Yeah, it's...
Nemo's guy I always picture on the bed, flying.
Oh my goodness, who's Nemo? I can't remember who Nemo is now.
I'll help you do it later.
Nemo.
Or you can look it up yourself. But I mean, like, those were like my really big issues. Maybe I missed it, and it's such a long story. I'm pretty sure I might have, because kind of like what Zane said, as much as I was trying to listen, like, I even went back and tried listening to it again, just to make sure. It was just really hard for me to kind of follow. I have nothing else left.
Yeah, so. I agree with that. This was just ridiculously hard to follow. It was just ridiculously hard to listen to. It was just...
I feel like, you know, if you just make that little...
Yeah, if you...
Give it more life.
More inflection.
Like, performance this week kind of fell a bit flat.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It, really, what it did, it kind of felt like a robot was actually saying this. And that's never good when it goes robotic. Because nobody likes Robotnik. Nobody likes him.
No.
But...
Okay, who's up next?
Yeah, so up next is Temporary Butterfly.
All right, take it away.
What It Means to Smile, Chapter 1, The Invitation. The sun started to appear over the hills of Hyrule. The castle is still being reconstructed, so I am living with Lincoln Orden. It is a small town south of the Farron Woods. It's a very charming town, and it's been 1 week since that heartbreaking scene took place and Maiden decided to stay in Hyrule until the castle is fully rebuilt. She said she wants to make sure I will be okay, but I think it is just an excuse to be with Link a while longer. Since I agreed to live in Auradon temporarily with Link, all I see is two of them together, chatting, laughing, and even holding hands. It's clear that they are a couple. The townspeople welcomed me and Midna with open arms, but I think some of the children are a little frightened by her appearance. It still does not mask her beautiful qualities like her facial features and beautiful long hair. I quickly became friends with the mayor's daughter, Lilia. She tells me about Link as a child, and it just makes me love Link even more, which does not help my situation. Every night I go to the spring where I can cry without anyone finding me. Lilia tells me the reason she likes me so much is because I smile all the time. I wonder what she would think if she really knew why I smile so much. I have recently learned that Lilia has loved Link ever since they were kids, and how it pains her to see Link with Midna. I guess that is another reason why we have so much in common. I wake up to the sound of the thumping of hooves. It seems that Link has come back from his daily ride. I look out the small window and see Link and Midna riding Epona. Tears start to form in my eyes, and I quickly rub them off my face. I put on the fake smile I have recently formed and open the door. Good morning! I yelled to the two. I could see the expressions of their face change, realizing that I'm yelling to them. Link nods as he helps Midna down from Epona. How was your ride? I ask, covering the pain of being left out. I need to get used to this kind of thing, since I am always ignored by the two lovebirds. Sometimes I even have to throw a rag at the two to make them stop kissing. It's starting to make me feel sick. Lovely, said Minda with confidence. It's a beautiful morning. Fernwood looks absolutely beautiful, I smile and say. That must be nice. The three of us walk into Link's home, and I can already tell I am not needed. So I decided I should take a walk into town. I will go take a walk, I say sadly. As I start to close the door, I can already see Midna pouncing on Link for a kiss. I am starting to get that horrible feeling of crying, but all I can do is shake it off. Link was right. It is a beautiful morning. There's not one cloud in the sky. As I continue into town, many of the kids wave at me and ask me to play. I politely decline the offer and continue walking to Lilia's house. Hey, Zelda! I turn and see Lilia waving at me with a delighted look on her face. I give her a big smile and start walking faster to meet her. Hey, Lilia, how are you? I ask, feeling much better than 10 minutes ago. I'm great, she said with a big smile. What do you want to do today? I hesitate before I say, let's go swimming. We go change into proper swimwear and walk to the lake. The water was very clear. I could see a variety of fish swimming gracefully through the cold water. I decided that I should just forget about Link and Midna and have some fun for once. Let's dive, I say, feeling confident in my choice of action. She hesitates a little, but agrees with me, and we start climbing the green vines up the large boulder. We jump across to the tallest boulder. Blowing in the wind was the grass that by blowing into it can call a beautiful hawk. Link taught this to me when... No, can't think of Link. Today is about having fun, not Link. I decided to jump first in that water. I can feel gravity pulling me down into the water. I inhale some air before I submerge completely into the clear blue water. The feeling of cold fills my body as I swim quickly to the other side of the lake. I hear a plop in the water. It must be Lilia, and I continue swimming farther and farther from the town buildings. Then suddenly, I hear another splash, and another. I decided to go up for air. As I exhale and catch my breath, I see Link and Midna into the lake too. I guess they decided to go for a little swim. I start to get that feeling again, so I continue to swim in circles to preoccupy myself. Suddenly, I feel a tug on my foot. I look down to see my foot is caught in water root. I try to free myself, but my foot won't budge. Then I start to panic. What am I supposed to do? Call for help? I try to get above surface, but I can't. I splash around and get someone's attention, but no one's coming. Where's Lilia? Did she go and talk to Link and forget about me? Well, I did kind of swim away from her. That's when the need for air became desperate. I'm so stupid for swimming away. Now I'm going to die! Stupid Zelda! Everything is getting blurry as I sink deeper into the lake. I hear voices screaming and I can hear Lilia crying. I open my eyes to see Link above me looking like an angel. Am I in heaven? No. I'm still in Oridon with the townspeople crowded around me asking Link if I'm okay. I begin to cough and Link's expression changes to something more peaceful and relieved. I'm glad you were a goner, said Link as he smiled. Zelda? Zelda, are you all right? Lilia said with tears in her eyes. Yes, I'm fine, I say as I sit up. My head starts to spin. I can swear I can see stars. Let's get you home. Link picks me up and heads to his house. We get inside and he lays me on the couch. My head is still dizzy from when I wake up. Link hands me a cup of water. Here, it will help your head. I move so Link can sit on the couch, and I realize that Midna isn't here. Where's Midna? I ask curiously, since the two had been inseparable the past week. She is in town, talking with the mayor, said Link with a dark tone. Midna? Talking to the mayor? Why in goddess would she do that? I look at Link to see that his face was covered with worry. What had happened? Did someone die? I have only seen Link like this when something is very serious. I open my mouth to speak, but he is faster and passes me a letter. This came for us. I look at the letter strangely. For us? I have my own like it. Link looks at me, depressed. I looked at the letter to see a weird seal shaped like a ball with many colors and looks like a cross, but not exactly. I open it and take out a piece of paper.
Princess Zelda! You have been invited to Super Smash Brother Brawl Mansion, where you will fight in battles and meet new friends. This is different than Super Smash Brothers Melee. You will live in SSBB Mansion with the other contenders. The contenders! We will see you there! Signed, Master Hand. I sat there shocked, and Link just looked at me and walked out of the room.
Well, there you go, Chapter 1. Please review, slash, comment, follow, or whatever you do. I am hoping to make this a long story. I hope you guys liked it. I don't know why I had Zelda almost drowned. Just happened. Smiley face. Next chapter will come home soon. Hopefully. Bye.
And you were worried about this week. I'm just going to say I really love the energy that you came out with. Goddamn, the author at the end. Well, I don't know why I made her almost drown. Just happens. Come on. it was an interesting story. I loved the jealousy. Like, feel it. And, like, I think my favorite part, though, was, like, after she drowned and, like, Link's expression changed, and you're just like, she's like, am I in love? I really enjoyed this. This is cute, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, I have to admit, this was awesome. This was completely and utterly way better than your other story last week. I mean, you knocked it out of the park this week, man, compared to last week. Oh, man, this was just really good. I mean, you really got into the story. I mean, I had fun listening to the story. I mean, I could imagine as much fun as you actually had doing the story, because it was really fun, especially at the end where you were like a whole ditzy person, like da 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 da. It was good. I liked it. This was very good. I have no complaints about this whatsoever, except a few nitpicky things that certain parts in the story that you kind of stumbled on a few words by re-saying them. But other than that, there's nothing else. I've got nothing else. You, Livy?
Nope.
Alright, so let's move on to the last person of the night. You know who that is.
Shadow Pierce.
Yeah.
This time I was right.
Well, he's right. The only one left, so possibly how could you get that wrong? Shadow Pierce, take it away whenever you're ready.
Subspace Emissary Bloopers. Written by Roddy Colmy. Chapter 1! An unexpected beginning of doom! In one world of our universe, there are many things. Plumbers who rescue damsels in distress. Weird animals who can kill with freaky powers. Cross-dressers hiding their feminine parts underneath heavy gear. I'm looking at you. Then there's a Substance Emissary. A dangerous army of monsters and robots controlled by an unknown force to blow everything up into dark, empty voids. On this very day, they will take their plan into action and rule us all. Unless one team of heroes, even villains, can stop them. One team from a certain tournament. This is American Idol!
What? No! This is Super Smash Bros. Brawl, you dolt! I, the Princess of Hyrule, did not come all the way here to watch American Idol.
Okay. Super Smash Bros. Brawl!
Hello, well. I just love a accelerator. And a good tournament of battles, too. Thanks for these balcony seats speech. It'll be easy to watch all the blood spew everywhere and bodies flying. Hey, Zelda, why do you sound like a boy?
Shh!
The Lakitu announcer is on stage.
Hello, all you Smash lovers! Are you ready to see some brutal killing?
Yeah!
Are you people ready to cheer and argue who win, then beat each other up? And are you women ready to take off your tops?
Everybody, throw stuff at him, now!
Oh, stop! Our first contestant is Mario!
Hello!
Thank you very much. It's Mario time. I'm better than all of you.
No, I am.
Why is there a pink ball of cute flying towards me?
Oh, kabowie! Surprise Kirby attack!
Kirby wins! With just one attack! This is so improbable!
What? I lost already. And to a balloon!
Silly Mario, tricks are for kids!
What does that have to do with... Holy shit! What is that? Look at the sky!
Oh, why is the sky turning red?
Why is a better cruiser dropping all these weird purple forms of darkness?
Oh my! It appears that small creatures made out of purple stuff are invading the stage!
Yay!
It appears as if there are two Robs now carrying a bomb in the stage!
Yay! Oh my gosh! A bomb!
Yay!
We're gonna freaking die!
Yay!
Look at the sky! It's the ancient minister!
It's funny you know my name even though you never saw me. I'll kill you anyway.
I'll save you!
And there goes Mario! He's gonna stop the ancient minister! Wait, he just fell a banana peel and fly right off the stage.
Wait, how did he...
Oh my! It appears that Piri Piraya has just appeared on the stage and he has captured Princess Zelda and Princess Peach!
This be Timmy. Timmy gonna kill you. Bye-bye, suckers.
Oh, hi, guys!
Oh, dear! Stop swinging us around. I think I'm gonna have a concussion. This isn't good for my condition. I think I'm gonna have a seizure.
What's that noise? Oh, my God! A man riding a motorcycle just stormed into the stage, and he just destroyed Petey Piraya!
Remember to drink Pepsi!
Princess Peach has landed safely next to Kirby, but Zelda is still running around.
I'm dying. Help. Bleeding. Somebody put me out of my misery.
With a pleasure. I'm a warrior. Hi. Now suffer through the might of my weapon that will not kill you, but turn into a trophy because I don't know why.
Oh my God. The pain. Oh, the humanity.
Turned Zelda into a statue.
Oh yeah, I rule. Now excuse me as I jump away from the stage even for my fat ass. Bye bye, suckers.
Oh, you bet. Wait, what's that? Is that an item seller?
Items. Get your items. Trampolines, rabbit ears, warp stars.
Give me that warp star.
Hey, you gotta pay for that.
Zelda was frozen today.
All right. Go ahead.
Grab onto me, Kirby. Let's depart.
And so they departed. As the stadium was being sucked into the purple menace, they watched as their friends started being engulfed by the purple nothing, only screaming as they saw the...
Well, this sucks.
Curse you, Kirby. You ruined my dramaticness.
You cold?
No, not now, Ness. Get out. They were now zooming past the clouds, but what they didn't know was that in these clouds was a certain cross-dressed angel boy destined to help them on their journey! Da da da! That certain angel boy was Kid Icarus, Pit, who had seen the destruction of the Smash Stadium. He gaped over a pot of water, only to see a blank void covering over the massive area where the stadium once was.
Awesome! I love these cool effects!
No, Pit, it is not awesome. It is bad, and the fact that the world is in danger of those freaky alien things.
Aww.
Yes, and I, Lady Paulina, for all of you who didn't play Kid Icarus, order you to go and help the plumber dude, who's blasted into the clouds by a banana peel.
LOL, that made me laugh so hard, but I have no weapon to defend myself.
Fine, take this double blade sword, but do not stab or shoot anyone just because it's funny. And or they anger you.
Yes! Thank you, Lord! I'm so totally gonna repeat that Star Wars Episode 1 duel. Alright. Now if you excuse me, I'm gonna fall backwards in a sexy and dramatic way, then save the world from evil politiness. Bye-bye!
Show off!
Even from a game no one ever played, this is so fun! Look! And that cloud! It's a statue of the plumber dude! He can fix our toilets! I'll fix him with my annoying attacks!
What am I?
You're in heaven!
Are you dying?
No, but you tripped over a banana peel and landed here.
Whatever. Tell me, what happened to Smash a Stadium?
Well, there was this fat dude, looking a bit like you, killed a piranha plant that had been holding those girls hostage with his really pimped out motorcycle. Then, one was bleeding, so he used his tricked out gun to turn into a statue and jumped and vanished. Props when he had to hay his way with her, you know, hay, way. Even though it's impossible because she's not a statue, and I'm not the kind of man into that stuff, you know. Then, the other princesses and the Pink Peach Ball mugged the warp star from some dude and flew off. Oh yeah, the Smash Stadium was destroyed by some black hole along with hundreds of other people.
No!
Chillax, yo, I'm here to help.
I don't have time for your gangster talk, mofo. All I know is that my friends are in danger, and so is the rest of the world, from this freak army of haters.
I have no idea what you just said, but can I come with you?
Do you have any weapon for protection?
Yes.
Then let's go.
Meanwhile, da 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 doom da 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 doom da 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 doom doom.
Why are you singing? We're being chased by the flying thing that just destroyed the stadium.
Doom da doom da doom da doom. Hey, look, an Arwing.
Huh? Oh. Oh, yes. Oh, thank the Dylan Collins and Arwing. We're saved. Hey, please help us.
Oh, no, it isn't, Peach. Time for surprise Kirby attack. Kaboom! Kaboom!
Kirby, what are you doing? We're gonna crash into him. Stop, Kirby. Stop.
The Warp Star, with bonus riders, crashed right through the Arwing. At impact, both were falling towards their demise, screaming. Well, Peach was, but Kirby was still singing the doom song. Anyway, as for the mysterious Arwing, and now facing the same situation as Peach and Kirby, landing who knows where. What will happen? Will our hero survive? Who is piloting the mysterious Arwing? What perils will Mario and Pit encounter on their journey? Can any of this be answered by, I don't know, playing the damn game? And will anyone finally admit that the first anime adaptation is also equally as good as Brotherhood? Come on, guys. Come on. All of this will be answered in the next chapter of Super Smash Bros. Brawl!
Alright, so Stratofarius. You know what? I actually really liked this one. This was just really good. You stepped it up. This one was just stepped up like a whole nother level. I mean, you didn't just read the thing, you lived the fan fiction. And you know, I think it actually worked out really well. I mean, granted, I think you added one part there saying that something about what the thank Dylan Collins, thank the great Dylan Collins or something like that. That was funny. But you know, put all the effects that you put in there, I think it worked out again in your favor. Olivia?
I think you're saying it was really good. I heavily enjoyed it. I like the characterization and just the dramaticness that you had with it, especially the narrator.
Yeah.
/ stadium voice person. That was just hilarious. Overall, really enjoyable. Yeah.
I want to say he had the most voices in almost all of these, though.
Well, I mean, he had the most characters in the show. So he really had, one to, really do well in his
game. And to be honest with you, it's like we could tell you actually took time on this and actually did this really well, because just the way it was mixed, the way it was done, it was just really good. I have to say, this was, for me, the best of the night so far. All right, I've got nothing else left. You?
Nope.
All right, up next is the results.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to the results.
Oh my goodness, this was so hard.
Yes, everybody was really good tonight.
I had a lot of ties on my list.
Yeah. All right. So, so apparently this week, somebody who has won in the past has won again.
Shut up, Eris. You have to choose the next theme. If you don't, it's going to be My Little Ponies.
What is it with you and My Little Pony?
I just know it'll torture you.
Thanks.
I've actually had some contestants come forward and say that if they win, they're going to do My Little Ponies.
Crap. Okay. Please. Whoever those contestants are, I will bribe you to not do that.
Oh, I'll bribe more. We can't bribe them. It's their choice.
Oh, trust me. I could bribe them. I got enough money to bribe.
Shh, whatever, Zane. You're not supposed to do that. You corrupt person. Shh. All right. Second was...
Skywish.
Yay, Skywish.
Also note that a lot of these things were done by... Basically, we both created an order on how we wanted contestants, how we thought contestants were at. And then through that whole order, it was done to the point where it was like... both between 1 through 8, apparently, yeah. And people who had the least amount of scores, it was higher versus the people who had the most scores. So, this is how we scored this. So, if you're further down the list, please do not take offense to this because everybody was so good tonight. It was just really hard.
It was really hard.
It was.
You have no idea how hard this was.
All right. So,
so frustrating.
So, would you like to say who came out third?
It was Dylan Collins. With
Dang, man. Story. Keeping in the top three. And following right behind him is Malt.
Malt. I loved your story. It was so good.
All right, would you like to say who's number five?
Number five was Artichoke.
Yeah.
You've been improving, buddy. Keep it up.
Yeah. Okay, so apparently before we say that, the last three are Beloved Star, Temporary Butterfly, and Ophie Cal.
And now, I just want to get this across.
Yeah.
This was a really rough time, and there was just a lot of different levels everybody was on. And even though if you're in the bottom three, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're bad.
Yeah.
It means that some other people were better than you in the round by like a tiny bit.
Yes. Very, very, very tiny bit.
Tonight's one of those nights where it was really, really, really close with everybody. Like, ask Zane if you could see my list. I have like a three-way tie and a two-way tie.
Yeah, she has like a two-way tie, three-way tie. I'm the only one who actually had the guts to actually go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But no, seriously though, right now, two of you are safe. One of you going home. I'm going to tell you who's going to be going home right now. Because, to be honest with you, you guys did all so well, and I hate to say this, but Ophie Cal, I'm sorry, but your time has come.
It was really hard.
Yes, this was a very hard. So, Beloved Star and Temporary Butterfly, you both are safe into the next round.
And Ophie Cal, thank you so much for participating on Follow the Tales. I really do appreciate it, and I know Zane does too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, I would love to see you, if we do another season, to come on next season and actually try and just get in there, learn from what you did this season, and then just build on it.
Yeah, definitely. And it would be awesome to see you. So thanks again. And congratulations, everyone. Strata Ferris, you have 24 hours to give us your next theme.
Please do it as fast as possible because I do not want My Little Pony.
Oh, and it will be on if it's My Little Pony.
If it's My Little Pony, Stradivarius, I'm coming after you.
Alrighty. Anyway, y'all have a great night.
Yes.
And take care.
Yes, and remember, everybody, I hope you guys all had a happy Valentine. Stay. I don't know.
I just care.
Whatever. It's a day after Valentine's.
Happy
Who cares?
Singles awareness.
Yay for singles awareness.
All right. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
Yay for being single.
Good night, everyone.